Chapter 9. Mick. Of the omens Mick Mars sensed on entering his physician's office and other matters which adorn and confirm this great history. The moment the doctor saw me, he took me off the Zoloft and Wellbutrin. But I continued to hallucinate from the aches and pressures in my bones. I still heard the radio voices and the bed undulated every night. I went to my orthopedic specialist to beg him to put me back on pain medication. I told him that my shoulders and neck had frozen, that I had to crank my guitar up a notch whenever I played, and that I had to move my whole body in order to tilt my head back. He didn't need to hear all that. He just looked at me, more scrunched up than ever, and said, "You're losing the battle." And he was right. The ankylosing spondylitis was taking over. The gray ghost was winning. The doctor put me back on pain pills and gave me a drug that was basically lightweight psychological Valium. The gray ghost could have my body, but I was going to keep my mind, thank you very much. Slowly, the voices in my head died down and my bed stopped rocking at night. Now, I only feel insane half the time. The other half, I am insane. A few years back, I had met a thin, mysterious girl named Robbie, an underwater photographer who had blown her ear out during a 200-foot dive and was now working in the production office on tour to see how creatures above sea level behaved. She talked with the intelligence and wit of a 40-year-old, though she was only in her 20s. The way she carried on a conversation was something I could never do. Everything she said sounded composed and thought out. I was so captivated by her that after the tour, I wrote down her phone number, left her a message, and eventually flew to Tennessee to visit her. I did not return alone. As Robbie and I spent more time together, and she became my only friend, I realized that she was the woman I had been trying to find all my life, but had failed to, miserably. She wasn't into drinking or drugging or nasty stuff, and consequently, she has helped me stay on the straight and narrow. Plus, she wasn't after my money because she had her own company, Nature Films, which supplies photos and footage from my second favorite things next to the guitar, the Discovery Channel, the Learning Channel, and the National Geographic Channel. Vince has Heidi, Nikki has Donna, and now I have Robbie. Whenever I see her shots on TV, I smile and say, "That's my old lady." I'm an old fart now, so it's hard for me to tour with the band. But I'm not as burnt out as I was during Generation Swine, because I realized that what makes me happy is playing what I wrote in the original ad in The Recycler that first led me to Motley. Loud, rude, and aggressive. Nicky's an old fuck too, but he still wants Motley Crue to take over the world. That will never change about him. He always says, "I want to win." And I know he still can. If I didn't believe that, I'd be with Tommy. When I returned home from the new tattoo tour, Robbie looked at me and smiled. "What?" I asked her. "It's coming back," she said. "What's coming back?" "The purple people eater." The wild magenta aura that Tom Zutop first saw, that I lost during the girls' tour. It had returned, but it's in the black stages now. Sort of a waning purple.